بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 27th of March in the year 2024 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 55th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And I'm going through the report in which I've mentioned that Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu has done a spot check on the governors. And he's now with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu. And he said, we will now go to a brother of mine. So the report again is recorded in Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Dimishq, Yashkari Kanz al-Umal, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 491-3 of the New English Translation. The report continues. Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu, he said, we started on the journey and we finally arrived at the man's door. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu then said, Assalamu alaykum. The dweller responded from within, Wa alaikum salam. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu then asked, may we enter? They were immediately allowed entry. They then entered into the room by pushing the door open as it was not bolted from within, i.e. just as the Amir al-Mu'mineen had predicted. Since the room was dismally dark, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu had to then search for him with his hands as a guide. So he enters the dwelling and they got to adjust to the darkness. They're trying to find out where this man is. When their eyes finally adjusted, they finally saw him. He was found in the same state as Umar had described earlier, i.e. no courtiers, no lamps, the door unbolted, sitting on pebbles, with his head reclining on a pillow stuffed with dry leaves, and a blanket hardly covering him. Sayyidina Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu, thereupon asked his respected visitors, who are you? Are you the Amir al-Mu'mineen? Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu anhu, replied, indeed. He then said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I remember that we are meeting after nearly 1 year. I.e. why so long? So something to report. So Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he'd been sent as a teacher to the people of Damascus. And this was because they wanted teachers. Islam was spreading rapidly. So Abu Darda saying, it's been a year. Why is it you took you so long to keep in contact with me? Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. Have I not granted you sufficiency? Sayyidina Abu Darda responded, radiyallahu, O Umar, radiyallahu, have you already forgotten the hadith which Rasulullah mentioned to us? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu asked, which hadith are you referring to? Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu said, the limit of a person's possessions in this world should be like the provisions of a traveler. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu responded, yes. Abu Darda thereupon said, then what have we now done so quickly after Rasulullah has left us? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The two companions then continued reminding each other with tears in their eyes until the morning arrived. So what happened? When he finally came, it was Abu Darda, because this is my brother. And Abu Darda, he said, have you forgotten the hadith so quickly, O Umar? And it was the hadith, famous hadith, and he paraphrased, the limit of a person's possessions in the world should be like the provisions of a traveler. And Umar goes, yes indeed. Then Abu Darda said, how quickly have people changed after the Prophet left, meaning only 4 years. And look what's happened. And then they were reminding each other and they were in grief until the morning arrived. So subhanAllah, such was the magnificent asceticism of the majestic Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu, that moved even the venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen to tears. So Abu Darda radiyallahu, he's actually a very interesting companion. And the report mentions in Ibn Asakir that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had said, Allah Ta'ala has promised me Abu Darda. Allah Ta'ala has promised me Abu Darda. So what's interesting, even before he's embraced Islam, Allah Ta'ala had revealed to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Darda will embrace Islam. The other strange thing about Abu Darda radiyallahu, he embraced Islam on the day of Badr. So his embracing Islam is also very significant. The day of Yawm al-Furqan, which is today, which is interesting. So on this day, or it's the night following now, Abu Darda embraced Islam radiyallahu. And he was called by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hakim al-Ummah. He was called the physician of the Ummah, meaning he was a master of the heart. He was paired up with Salman al-Farsi. So his virtues go on endless. But here Umar himself said, he's my brother. So now, Abu Darda took nothing from the world or very little. So we have to reflect upon certain base things. Firstly, our beloved messenger had given the very stark warning, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever takes from the world over and above what suffices him has then foolishly taken his death whilst he does not even know. SubhanAllah. This is in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 363, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq 55-191. So the Prophet ﷺ was warning all Muslims, if you take more than what is sufficient from you from the world, it's poison. So how many of us have taken the poison? You know, it's almost 100%. So the Prophet is telling you the baseline. He goes, you can take from the world what is sufficient. After that, you are killing yourself. Nothing but a burden. Had not our beloved messenger given the following stark warning, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhirati. The one who loves his world will then harm his hereafter. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ آخِرَتَهُ أَدَرَّ بِدُنْيَاهُ. And the one who loves his hereafter will then harm his world. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبَقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Thus favor that which is far more enduring over that which does not. So this is recorded in Ibn Hibban, number 709, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated Sahih in Sahih al-Targhib, number 3247. So three very interesting statements the Prophet made, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever loves his world, he harms his hereafter. Think about that. If you have love for the world, you will harm your hereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Hasan al-Basri said, rahmatullah alayhi, in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman al-Mishkat, the head of all error is love of the world. That's the literal translation. The head of all error is love of the world. But the more appropriate translation, meaning, love of the world is the root of all evil. So if you love the world, the Prophet said, you harm your hereafter, meaning you have to limit your love for this world. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love your hereafter, you harm your world. Meaning they can't come together. You can't have both. Then he said something, and this is very interesting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Favor that which is يَبْقَى. Favor that which is far more enduring. Ma yafna, over that which is not. So what endures the hereafter? What ends the world? So the Prophet ﷺ said, favor the yabqa. Note our beloved messenger ﷺ used the Quranic vocabulary in which the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Al-A'la, Surah 87, verse 16 and 17. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Yet you ignorantly prefer the life of this world. However, the hereafter is better and far more enduring. So how does Allah Ta'ala describe the hereafter? He goes, first he says, it's khair, it's better. But then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa abqa, it is more enduring. So it is better, it is more enduring. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبَقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Favor that which is far more enduring, Quranic vocabulary, over that which is not. It is thus, or is it thus, not the very height of foolishness to prefer the world over the eternal afterlife? A fight clearly elucidated by our beloved messenger when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how astonishing is the one who affirms the everlasting abode, yet rushes to the abode of delusions. This is in Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 10,056. Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, 8-133. Al-Qudai in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 595. So this, why is it astonishing? An atheist doesn't believe in the hereafter. So that's not astonishing. If you believe in the hereafter, that's article of Iman for us. You're not a Muslim if you don't believe in the next life. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, like we say, ajeeb. How astonishing that you say, you affirm that there's a next life, and yet you rush to the abode of delusion. So like we say, your actions are speaking louder than your words. When I look at you, I don't think of the next life. I think you're camped. So what is the Prophet telling you? And notice he didn't say the world. How did he describe the world? The abode of delusion. Darul Ghurur. Right? And we're lost. So the Prophet ﷺ, and think about that. You know, we say, what's the articles of Iman? Rattle-a, go on Aqidah course. Let's rattle-a, right? Because everybody can rattle-a, brother. But when I'm looking at you, I don't really think you believe in the next life. Is why you're saying that? Because you're camped. But the companions, they were different. Radiallahu ta'ala. Consider also the following stark warning to one and all who profess to be Muslims. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recitation of La ilaha illallah will protect a person against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath just as long as he regards the deen to be more important than this world. However, when he starts to regard the world as more important than his deen, then even his recitation of La ilaha illallah will be cast back at him. He will be told, you're a liar. Tawbah. This is in Kanzul Umar, number 217. So you go to a person, what's the key to paradise? He goes, La ilaha illallah. MashaAllah. How do I nullify it? Shirk. MashaAllah. Is there anything else which greatly damages it? The person goes, I don't understand the question. I'm just asking you. If you regard your world more important than your deen, your declaration is, the Prophet goes, you're lying. You're saying with your mouth, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, because you're lying. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? La ilaha illallah will not protect you from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why are these hadith not mentioned? Because we're all drowning in world. You know, it's like pick and mix. Let's pick and mix what the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Why are these hadith not mentioned? Because we're drowning in dunya. So think about that. Can there be a more severe threat than this? La ilaha illallah is not going to protect you. How can it not protect me? That's the greatest zikr. Because you're lying. And the proof's in the pudding. You prefer your dunya over your akhirat. That's what the Prophet said. We never prefer the dunya over the akhirat. Never. If that happens, your statement, and what does that tell you? You might even lose your iman. Astaghfirullah. Thus, our utmost priority in life without question is our deen. I, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved messenger's commands. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But can one place one's hand on his heart and sincerely say it is? To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. Think about that. So what's the remedy? The remedy for this is only too common malady is to simply reflect upon the worth of this worthless world that one is so enamored with. So here's an example. In Kanzul Omal, number 6099, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nothing more contemptible than this world in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since creating it, He has never looked at it with mercy. Who told you that? Rasulullah. He goes, what has He created? The Quran goes, the trees were pens, the oceans are ink, you do not. That's how much He's created. But we know one of His creations, He hates it. He's created it, but He's not even looked at it with mercy. What is that? Dunya. And that's what you're in love with. So how can your la ilaha illallah have any value? What Allah Ta'ala has not even looked at, you're in love with it. But la ilaha illallah. Right? So notice the Prophet is telling you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it not a sign of love to love everything which our beloved loves? Somebody asked Ali radiallahu anhu, he goes, why did Rasulullah not become a king prophet? He was given that option. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, how can he love what Allah Ta'ala despises? Because he didn't want it. Because Allah Ta'ala despises the world. What do I want the world for? And that's a person who would use the world. Nobody could use the world better than the Prophet. He didn't want it. So where have you popped out from? With your pure heart. How can we profess to love our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and yet love what He despises so much? Again, to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complain, you know, ashiks, you know, all these ashiks floating about everywhere. And I'm baffled by it. Just baffled you. Everybody's drowning in dunya and they're all ashiks. In reality, there can be really no comparison. Why? Because our beloved messenger explicitly said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no life except the life of the hereafter. Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Now think about that. What did he say? There is no life except the akhirat. So what's this then? It's not life. The Prophet said it. This is not a life. He's just traveling. Not even a life. But I've come to. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting once and his blessed back got the imprint of straw, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was moved. And he goes, Ya Rasulullah, if you give me permission, I'll arrange a more comfortable bedding for you. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? What have I got to do with this world? He goes, I'm like a traveler who's on a journey and he sits under the shade of a tree for a break, for a rest, and then he moves on. How many years was Rasulullah in the world? 63. Then he moved on. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's your world that you love. Think about that, right? He goes, what have I? He said it again, I'm a traveler. Do you bring a bed under the shade of a tree? And why did he say that? Because he's looking at Ibn Mas'ud. These were the senior companions. In other words, what's happening? Another example was Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept away from his noble wives for a month, he was given permission finally to enter. And when he entered, there was nothing in the small chamber. He just didn't see anything. And then Umar started to weep. He goes, why are you weeping, O Umar? He goes, Ya Rasulullah, he goes, you are the messenger of Allah, and the Romans and Persians, they've got everything. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aren't you happy that we've got the hereafter And they've got this dunya. Sayyih Bukhari, aren't you happy? In other words, if you get the world, alright. But it's not important. Aren't you happy? And then what did Umar radiallahu anhu then say? He goes, Ya Rasul, make a dua that Allah Ta'ala blesses us. Because he wanted the Prophet to get the blessings. And he goes, and then the Prophet sat up. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, even you, Umar. In other words, he saw straight through it. And then he told him. He goes, they've got the world, given the world. Don't get enamored with it. In another narration, after mentioning that the best of mankind are those with a truthful tongue and a pure heart with no sin, aggression, hatred and envy, our beloved messenger thereupon further said, the next best are the ones who hate this world and love the hereafter. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 446, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated Sahih in Sahih al-Targhib number 2931. The first part is also recorded in Ibn Majah, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi said Sahih in Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah number 3416. So this is very interesting. The best of mankind is the one with a truthful tongue, pure heart, no sin, aggression, hatred, envy. Now why is he the best of mankind or she the best of mankind? Because they're emulating the prophets. Anybody who emulates the prophets are the best. The second best, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the ones who hate this world and love the hereafter. Look at the wording. Hates this world. Big difference. Love this world, everybody's enamored with it. Who hates it? Right? If you hate this world and you love the next, you are of a very high maqam in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second level belongs to those who are inclined to the hereafter and have left the glamour of this world and its sparkle behind. Their hatred for the world does not mean, however, that they have left the halal. Rather, it means they hate the excess of this world, its distractions that take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always put the hereafter first. So this is important. We're not Christian monks. We don't go to extremes. If something's halal, we take it gratefully. You get married, you got transport, you got a nice house, this is good. But if anything takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get angry over that. That's the sign of this great person. And he always puts the hereafter first. He won't negotiate. They are thus the children of the hereafter rather than this world. So the natural follow-up question, what can we take from this world? In Kanzul Umal, number 8589, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, Rasulullah once said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Abu Dhar, that portion of this world which benefits your hereafter is not harmful. But that portion of this world is harmful, which benefits only your life in this world. There's the answer. So let's look at this. In Kanzul Umar. So who is Rasulullah speaking to? The one who was like Christ in asceticism. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, that portion of the world which benefits your hereafter, no problem. You take anything from the dunya is helping you in the hereafter, marhaba, mashallah. Take gladly. But if you take from the world and it only benefits your world, that's harming you. There's the formula. Just look into your own life now. No point looking at the Joneses. So what part of the world is harming me? Anything which only benefits your world. You foolishly took it. Now think about that. Isn't that a serious illness? Right? If something benefits my next life, alhamdulillah, that's not the world that will help you. Anything which only benefits your world, the Prophet said, is harming you. It's poison. Thus a wise person takes from the world only which will benefit him in his hereafter. But the fool gets lost. Even worse, institutionalized in the prison itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. Now think about it. There's two types of idiots. One is, he knows he's astray. But he's not institutionalized. What does that mean? He knows I shouldn't be doing this. This is a prison. But there's something wrong with me. But then there's that other fruitcake, even worse. He can't even see he's anything wrong with it. He can't live outside prison. So which one is it? How many madmen, how many lunatics are running the asylum? Where's the doctors? Lunatics. Clarifying further. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you find that it is easy for you to achieve something for the hereafter, when you set out to seek it, but conversely find it is difficult to achieve something of this world when you seek it, then remember, despite what you think, you are in a good state. But when the opposite prevails, understand you are in a dangerous and bad state. This is in Kanzul Oman, number 30,741. So this is a very, again, you know, all the reports of the Prophet of Revelation. We don't need to say the wise words. They're from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So apply it to yourself. You think, has Allah ta'ala made it easy for me to acquire the treasures of the next world? And if your answer is yes, you've got half of success. But there's another part to it. And when I'm trying to acquire the world, it's like somebody's putting a barrier in front of me. If the answer is, that's true, you're in excellent state. And what did the Prophet say? Despite what you think. Some people think, this guy's made millions. I tried, collapsed. And you go, mashallah. Then he doesn't understand. He thinks you're being sarcastic with him, and you say, mashallah. He's, why are you saying mashallah? Are you happy I'm in this condition? No, I didn't mean that. What I meant is you wanted the dunya, but Allah Ta'ala has kept it away from you. That's a good sign. But then you ask him, but when you, have you got the treasures of the next? And he goes, what do you mean? You say, subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Light on the tongue, heavy on the scale. Say, yeah, Bukhari. He goes, yes. Allah Ta'ala has given you something. Then you get the other crackpot. Everybody thinks he's blessed. The guy is radioactive and you think he's blessed. He's got the Midas touch for the world. Anything he puts money into, investment comes back 10 times. Akhirat, he's got fig leaf on private parts. Right? What? Don't know nothing. And people say, mashallah, he's right. How is he mashallah, brother? The Prophet saying he's in a dangerous, decrepit state. But the tragedy is, the first one, would we like to be in it? I want to mind some of the world. There you go, brother. There's some illness in your head. Now, what's interesting about it, it doesn't mean don't go for the world. The Prophet didn't stop you. But he goes, if you see something, unseen force, stopping you from here, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala is protecting you. Right? If you actually get something, now you got a problem. Is this good? Allah Ta'ala has given it to me. Maybe he's given it to destroy me. And the treasures of the next laid waste in it. Astaghfirullah. How sad it is to see that one praises another for his savvy accumulation of the world, knowing full well that this person at the same time has thus now or little or even worse, no time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another for whom the Almighty and Glorious has graciously opened the keys to the eternal treasures, while simultaneously preventing him from too much of the world, one considers to be ill-fated. Subhanallah, what has come over us? The Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a complaint. Now why are these reports very hard on the nafs? Because most of us are suffering from it. You hear these reports. Yeah, you know, mashallah, Ramadan, everything's cushy. Is it? Your nuclear, brother. Your nuclear. You're saying, la ilaha illallah, it might be worth nothing in the sight of Allah because you're driving in dunya. He goes, what's that going to do with dunya? He doesn't understand because nobody's taught him anything. Astaghfirullah. How beautifully and simply did our beloved messenger put it when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who hankers after this world is in reality foolishly throwing himself into hell. Astaghfirullah. The person who hankers after this world in reality is most foolishly throwing himself into hell. In Bayhaqi and Shu'ab al-Iman number 10,124. Now think about it. Let's say there's a huge house fire and you see a guy running towards it. What's he doing? Because he can't wait to jump into the fire. Is that not madness? And somebody goes, 100% he's mad. That's you, brother. He goes, I'm not so stupid as to do that. You are hankering after dunya. So you're throwing yourself into hell, the Prophet said. But notice what the dunya is, anything that takes you away from the next. Similarly, how true were the words of our beloved messenger when he said, and that report which I mentioned is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 10,124. This hadith in Ahmad in his Musnad number 23,113. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people foolishly fear two things, though in reality they are better for them. They fear death, when death actually saves them from further fitna. And they fear deficiency in their wealth, when the less wealth they have will result in less accountability. Subhanallah. So imagine, you know, you ask a person, brother, look, I'm going to ask you a simple question, not a trick question. Do you fear death? 100% brother. Okay, thank you. Do you fear loss of wealth? Oh, brother, you must be a sheikh, right? And then you go, are you ready for the bad news now? Yeah, you're mad. And then he goes, why am I mad? That's a natural human instinct. No, it's not. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people foolishly fear two things. Why are you afraid of death when death is your ticket to paradise? Somebody gives you a ticket to paradise, you don't go, oh, hang on a minute, I'm not ready. We're not ready for what? Not stopping you from paradise. Death is the only way. And less wealth, why are you worried about that? Less accountability. Thank God. How beautifully to finish were the words of the Honorable Dhunnun al-Misri, who died 145 AH from the Salaf, rahmatullah alayh, and he said, he who seeks water with the rope of asceticism attached to the pail of good deeds will drink from the well of wisdom. Recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi in his Tanurul Ghabsh fi Fadl al-Sudani wal-Habsh, illuminating the darkness of the virtues of the blacks and the Abyssinians, page 225 of the English translation. What's the Shaykh saying? Let's break it down. He goes, you want to drink water from a well. So what's the first thing you need? You need a rope. He goes, that rope is zuhud. If you've got zuhud, you've got the rope. But also you need a bucket. The bucket is good deeds. The rope is your asceticism. The bucket is good deeds. Then look what he said. You will then drink from the well of wisdom. Meaning if you've got zuhud and pure deeds, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with knowledge. Otherwise you haven't got access to it. What's one of the conditions? Zuhud. Consider also the priceless words of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, in his Bidayatul Hidayah, the beginning of guidance, page 66 of the English translation. Look what he said. Amazing words. Contemplate how it is that you bear hardship and humility in your pursuit of this world for a month or a year in order to simply gain rest and relaxation for, say, 20 years. How then is it that you cannot bear a few short days of this routine of worship to attain rest and relaxation for eternity? Subhanallah. Look at how he's speaking. He's actually speaking to us today. What did he say? Why do people have pensions? He goes, I've just left school. Yeah, I'm working now. You got a pension? Yeah. You're 16 years old. He goes, no, it's a pension, isn't it? 50 years from now, I need to have a pension pot. So let me get this straight. You're bearing hardship so that you can gain some rest for a few years at the end of your life. Is that right? He goes, yeah. So you're working 50 years, you know, working, so you can have a good, you know, hopefully another 40 years. So 50 years to have a comfortable 40 years. Is that my light in saying that? Yes. Imam Ghazali goes, then said, you fruitcake, then what about bearing a few short days of worship to attain eternal relaxation? Mind switches off again. The guy's got a pension. He's not doing deeds for akhirat. Brother, you're absolutely baffling me now. You're doing all of that for a pension you might not even get. People drop dead before the pension. That's another slap in the face. But let's say you do live till the pension. And you live 5 years. So 50 years for 5 years, even that's foolish. But okay, you got some out of it. Why don't you work for eternity? The pension doesn't finish. Who told you that? Imam Ghazali. Hujjat al-Islam. Hence, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Maru wiyati dunya an ahadin illa qanat khayratullah. The world is not denied to anyone without that being good for him. Subhanallah. The world is not denied to anyone without that being good for him. This is in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, Mazari Ihaq, number 5366. So imagine somebody goes to you, like your father when you're young, and he gives you a little clip around the ear. And you goes, why is my father always cracking me one? When you get older, he goes, oh yes, my father knew, I didn't know. So we're spiritual children. Allah Ta'ala is keeping the world away from us and we're crying like babies. But when you get hopefully spiritually mature, you then think, Allahu Akbar, Ya Allah, forgive me. I didn't realize you were showing mercy to me. Because all praise be to you. You saved me from destruction. How pertinent, therefore, were the words of our beloved messenger when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no worship better than being disinclined from this world. Subhanallah. There is no worship better than being disinclined from this world. This is in Kanzul Umal, number 6173. Think about that. Afdalul ibadah. Just don't get attached to dunya. That's the best worship. Allah Ta'ala loves that person. Because you love, you hate what he hates. How can he not love you? And yet, no, I'll continue with my zikr, I'll continue with my salat, and I'll continue, but you still love dunya, brother. Right? You got the fatal poison. He goes, oh, no, I'll just continue, I'll increase my zikr. It's poisoning your system and you're increasing zikr. You need antidote, brother. And just to finish, just to add this. This man came in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. He goes, halaka, halaka. I'm destroyed, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, why? He goes, the land has failed, the crops have failed, the livestock has died. Halaka, halaka. Destroyed, destruction. So the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I tell you something even more destructive? So imagine that sahaba. He's lost all his capital, lost all his wealth. And the Prophet said, shall I tell you something more destructive? He's thinking, subhanAllah, what's more destructive than this, Ya Rasulullah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah Ta'ala opens the world up for you. Authentic hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. Now think about that. First bit we get, do we understand what the Prophet was saying? So you get another person, floodgates have opened. Does he even know? Halaka, halaka. You're even more nuclear, brother. What are you talking about, brother? You're just jealous. He goes, oh, I'm jealous. I'm just giving you nasihat. Right? And yeah, oblivious. Going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hate, loving what he hates. Imagine. Right? One of the tabi'een, when he saw a person being carried to the grave, he burst out laughing. So the people were absolutely stunned. You're not supposed to laugh when a person is being carried to the grave. So they asked him, they go, Shaykh, we've never seen a day like this. He goes, forgive me. He goes, I couldn't stop myself. He goes, why? Why did you laugh? He goes, I used to see people being carried to the grave and they had sorted out their hereafter. But now I'm seeing people going to the grave and they sorted out their world. He goes, forgive me. What did he mean by that? Putra's got koti, 50 grand in the account, 4 sons have got houses, I've given them land, I've sorted them. What have you sorted yourself out, brother? Right? That's why he burst out laughing. He goes, what the? He goes, what's happening to people? Going nanga to a grave, leaving everybody else happy in dunya. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, rahmatullah alayh, they said, leave some money for your children. He goes, no. They goes, just leave some money. He goes, no. If they've got taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will look after them. And if they haven't, I'm not giving them money. Have you got more power than the Amir al-Mu'mineen? And guess what? I think it were daughters. They then later were so blessed. They were given sadaqah in this masjid after Eid Fair. Who will take the sadaqah? Who will take the sadaqah? These are Umar bin Abdulaziz's children. Because they were people of taqwa. And look what he said. If they've got taqwa, I don't need to worry. Allah Ta'ala will look after them. And if they haven't got, why on earth would I give them? You know, that's like giving children matches. And look what we're doing, leaving children with, you haven't taught them nothing about the deen. You're destroying them. And you're going to be accountable. Let's note again all of this. And why have I mentioned all this here? Because what was Umar doing? The spot check. He was hammering this into the governors. You too as well. You too. You too, Amr. You too, O Yazid. You too, Abu Musa. Then he goes, let's go to my brother, Abu Darda. And look how touching he is. Don't I give you enough? And he told him, have you got the hadith, Amir al-Mu'min? Live in the world as if you're a traveler. Have you forgot already? And what's touching is they both didn't forget and they both were weeping. And the other shocking thing is the report in Ibn Abi Dunya where Shaitan, the Shaitans, they came back to the big Shaitan and they goes, these people are indestructible. The companions of the Prophet. He goes, we can't get to them. What did Shaitan say to his, his minions? He goes, let the world come. Then you may get a chance. Imagine, Shaitan says, we can't get to the Sahaba. But when the world opens up, we might get a foot in. Let me ask you a question. These were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the world gets to them, Shaitan goes, you got a chance now. What hope have we got? And that's why you made dua. You say, Ya Allah, if wealth is good for me, give me wealth. If it's not good for me, keep it away from me. Do we make that dua? Or do we say, no, wealth is good for me. Ya Allah, give me wealth. But how do you know it's good for you? I'm like Amr ibn al-As. Oh yeah. You don't even know 10 things about him. And you know only one thing that he likes. Maybe you're like Abu Dharr. No, I'm not like Abu Dharr. I'm like Amr ibn al-As. Blocks of gold. That's the whole of that. Are there any questions we'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك ان الله يغفر لك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبحوا صلى الله عليه وسلم